Ignite your potential and fuel your fire within. I am Ryan Stevens, and I'm here to help you own your spark with the Catalyzing Podcast. How's it going, everyone? We are back on another episode of the Catalyzing Podcast, and so excited to have a duo today that is just such amazing advocates, not only for the athletic training profession, but just for patient care, for healthcare, and the underserved. I'm so excited to have Adam Cady and Christopher Bates. He goes by C. Bates on. Thank you so much, Adam and C. Bates, for joining us tonight. They are the co-founders of At Last AT. For athletic trainer, and then last is Leveraging Activism for Social Transformation. It's a podcast, and they're looking to grow beyond that, and also Raincross High Performance as well. They're involved with that. It's a nonprofit, so we'll be talking about that today. But the focus of this episode is to talk and have a conversation around leading with virtue, vision, and voice, and how do you cultivate character, culture, and community in your organization in the way that you serve. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here tonight.
I love the alliteration right off the bat. Absolutely. We are happy to be here. Yes.
Words matter.
Be impeccable with your words. That was some of my notes. Thank you for having us, Ryan. The alliteration was excellent. And the title that you came up with, I think, is going to set the table for everything we'll talk about today.
Absolutely. Well, you know, let's start out with that passion, because you two definitely bring it with what you do and the way that you've built this from the ground up. Give us maybe each of you spend, you know, about a minute and a half or so quick background, but like, what about your background led to this foundation of your passion to help the underserved and underprivileged?
Adam, you should go first.
I tend to go first, right?
Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to go first. It's all good. Yeah. I thought about this recently, gentlemen, but really, really because we had this scheduled. And I have realized through time that my purpose is to help others. And I think if I'm being truly honest with myself in this answer, it's because some of my childhood and my family dynamic was a bit traumatic. And that sent me on a path in later life to know myself better, understand maybe some positive and negative things that had formed through my identity through life. And at this point in my life, I know very well what my purpose is and what makes me feel balanced. And that's impacting the lives of others. And I think it comes out of a traumatic experience for me.
We gain power in our experiences if we identify them the right way, and we learn from them and we grow from them. So I appreciate you saying that. C. Bates, what about you?
Yeah, similar to Adam, we're built for this. You know, I think that's really that kind of sums it up. One of the things let me try to be as succinct as I can. One. I actually used the job description of the certified athletic trainer. You know, at least that's what it was years ago when I was going through my education program. This idea of the prevention, the immediate care, and the rehabilitation of athletic injury. Obviously, I've adapted that, right? Because we can't prevent injuries. And I think the nomenclature has changed even for us as a profession. But we reduce the risk of injury. Mm-hmm. We immediately care for injuries and we rehab. And so I took that really resonated with me once I discovered the profession of athletic training, because I didn't even know what an athletic trainer was until I got to Cal State Fullerton. So I think it's important maybe for me to acknowledge, to take that time to acknowledge that some of this had to do with what I believe is just my destiny, right? Like I'm a man of faith. And so a part of it had to do with like, hey, this, an apple tree will come from an apple seed, right? And mm-hmm. so anyway, once I got to become the athletic trainer that I was, you know, at birth, arguably, and I learned about what an athletic trainer does, it was like, oh man, that resonates with me in terms of who I am as a human. Like, my job is to reduce risk of injury, immediately care for and try to rehab people in the game of life so that they can stay in the game of life, not try to leave from this place too soon. or get back into the game at a higher level than they were. So, that's kind of what motivates my passion. I literally live it every day.
I truly appreciate that. And just for everyone listening, in the show notes, you'll see the complete bio for these two young gentlemen here, but that you can see kind of their journey. But, you know, the focus today really is not so much on the clinical side. I mean, we'll talk some clinical stuff, but it's really more so about what we lead and how we cultivate an environment in our organization and through our service and what we do. And the first thing I want to have a conversation with you fellas about is about espousing character virtues. And, you know, all three of us are leaders in our own way. When we're talking to leaders out there, sometimes you have challenges with getting a unified core virtues set up for your organization. How do we identify what those core virtues should be for our own organization or our own mission, so that we know what's important and really how do we lead by example and demonstrating them once we've identified them?
Who's going first?
Man, that's a good question. You go.
Okay. I make you think right from the start.
Well, for Chris and I, I'll speak mostly for myself, but I think I can speak for him on certain topics. I think of virtues and building character from a seminal book that I read maybe 9 to 12 months ago by David Brooks, and he describes eulogy versus resume virtues. Resume virtues being accolades like the titles that we hold and what we put on our resume, credentialing. But I challenge myself and Chris and anyone that we lead, or more importantly, people that we collaborate with, to show up daily in our tasks thinking of eulogy virtues, being things like listening intently, being present in the moment, you know, arriving to this podcast and giving you my best self for this 30 minutes that we're here for, you know, not just mailing it in, demonstrating gratitude, making others around us and the people that we quote unquote lead feel valued. I think those are foundational things that are just the way we present in life that helps us create culture in the organizations that we work with. And we don't take those things lightly. Now, Chris and I have off days and I don't arrive as purposefully as I want to in every situation. But I hope that if we had to take some data on how we arrive and when we arrive and if it's purposeful, I think we do it 90% of the time.
And here's the beautiful part of that. And when you define those virtues and you speak them and you demonstrate them with your team, if you're having one of those days, your team is there to back you up, either to support you because you just need support or to call you out and be like, that's not one of our virtues, you know? So, you know, when you establish them, it's very similar to the Simon Sinek concept of why, how, what. You know, your why is your passion, your purpose. The hows are the common themes, the common virtues that are, you know, laced through everything you do. And then the what are the tools that you use. So it's very similar to what you say. That's kind of the parallel in the business world as well too. So awesome. C-Bates, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a good resource, right? Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And I think that's the core of for Adam and I that he didn't mention, right? Like, is we spent a lot of time, and we honestly still spend a lot of time. It's an ongoing process of us asking the question, why? We've done it in the past and we still do it even to this day. Why do we do what we do? You know, and because the moment we can't answer that question effectively, it's probably time to change something. And so once we identify the why, and honestly, there's tons of tools that can help you identify your why, right? Mm-hmm. You can Google search a ton of different things to figure out what your values are, you know, and what do you believe. But I really love what Adam, that's a really good framework, I think, for most people to hold on to. And it's very simple, right? Because what he didn't communicate, but hopefully folks can pick up on, and if you didn't, I'll make it very clear. The values, leadership values or resume values versus eulogy values is basically like you ask yourself the question, what do I want said of me at my funeral? And a lot of times we don't even think like that. We don't think that far ahead. So what is it that I want the person, whoever's giving my eulogy, if somebody can even care enough to give a eulogy for me, right? Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I mean, look, that we need to start there sometimes, right? Yeah. Because sometimes we as humans, man, we can get really hairy, right? Yeah. So to the point where nobody might not even want to show. So first of all, it's like, hey, am I living a life where people will show up and care that I am no longer here? Right. Mm-hmm. And then once I get to that point, right, once I can feel like, okay, I can, then it's like, what do I want said about me at that time? Right. What do I want? What if I have, if I'm married, if I have children, if my colleagues and such show up, what do I want those people saying about me? And maybe those are different things. And those are the things that you start to work on and value and line that up with your why. And then the last piece that I'll say is, that I would encourage others to do, which is, I think, something that Adam and I do, is we don't just have our values. We don't just deal with reality, because a lot of times those don't align, right? Mm-hmm. There's a gap there, right? And so we mind the gap. So we do, we make it very intentional to mind the gap, right? We don't focus so much on our values. We don't focus so much on reality. It's important to do both. So that you can see how big or small the gap is. Mm-hmm. And basically, as you mind that gap, then you'll know when things kind of come into alignment.
It gives, you know, everything is not black and white. There's a lot of gray, and there's ebbs and flows. We all make mistakes. We all do dumb things. We all do things that challenge our own virtues at times for personal choices or things out of our control that we just respond emotionally and don't think through. So, you know, as you're going through all of that, when you identify them in advance, it's just like when a leader sets expectations for their team in advance versus not telling them and then blowing up at them when they don't meet their expectations. Well, you never told me what the expectations are. The same thing with core virtues. When you have a team or people that you work with, if you don't communicate those and demonstrate those, it's very unclear. When you are demonstrating those, or communicating those. Let's say you have a team, you know, you both work with a lot of people. What if someone that you're working with isn't demonstrating one of those core virtues? How do you address those lapses in behaviors or integrity within a team or an organization that pop up either intentionally or unintentionally?
I'll start. I think there's a couple different factors I would mention. One is trying to address those things in a timely manner, you know, not letting time pass so people are aware of the recent occurrence. And I think speaking from the heart, speaking with humility, like having a frank conversation to say, like, there was this lapse, whatever it was, this is not a knock on you as a person. You still hold value because you're a human. But let's talk about how this might affect our culture or our organization, because that's a priority for how we all move forward. The other thing that comes to mind is I have had some formalized leadership training and didactic education from the military. And I had a mentor that this has always stuck with me. And he said, whenever there's an issue like you're describing, like, create some space. So that space might be like 5 minutes. It might be 10 minutes. It might be like Chris and I having a conversation. We ran through this today with a very, very minor situation, but Chris and I will bounce off each other, process it together. We've done it so often that we recognize sometimes we just need each other to get to the right space to then have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And so those are a couple of things. To say that succinctly, give yourself time to respond. Utilize resources that you know are trusted resources to help you get to the right answer, and then just approach that person with humility and try to make them understand that you are not attacking their character, but there's something that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think you start with humility, because if you start with humility, then you're not, you put yourself in a position where you and the other person understands that you're not attacking them. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love Adam and I are big fans of the therapist Terry Real. He has this whole conversation about self-esteem, and not to get into it, but he talks about grandiosity, which is not talked about nearly enough, especially in our culture, our larger society culture. But it's all around us, and it's so easy for us to always see through a lens of one up and one down. So we're always one-upping ourselves, or we're even one-upping other people. Oh man, Adam can do a certain clinical exam better than I can, so I ascribe that one aspect of his life to his whole being and say, therefore, he's a better human than me. So I one-up him. Or Adam can do that about himself. He'll one-up himself by saying and be grandiose about, like, yeah, I could do this particular clinical evaluation better than Chris can, and so I'm a better human than he is. Mm. Humility removes that. And you do the same thing the other way. You can one down yourself, right? I can say I have a skill or whatever, and I say, I'm not as good as Adam in that particular clinical evaluation, and so I'm not as good as he is, you know. And so true humility kind of levels that playing field and just says, like, man, I'm no better or no worse than the person next to me. Right. And with that mindset going in, then I can have those conversations a little more effectively, you know, and hopefully it can be received, because now my attitude is not coming off in any way where I say I'm better than you, because you can read body language, even if you try to sugarcoat it or whatever, you know. So, yeah, humility is a big one. And then I think I agree with all the other things that Adam said, too.
There's so much power in vulnerability and humility when it comes to building bridges across your team and having difficult conversations. The walls go up when ego is in the front. Yep. And when people feel attacked, regardless, even if they were wrong, there's much less likely to be resolution of the problem because they're on the defense, or you're on the defense and attacking. So I'm so glad that you put it that way. Adam, you talked about the core virtues and the core values in your organization, whether it be Raincross or At Last. Talk us through that process of creating the culture for your organization from the ground up. You know, what were some steps you took, and then what were some creative strategies once that was in place that you implemented to reinforce that desired culture on a regular basis through your service, through the people that you work with?
I think a big piece of it, and I've learned a bunch of this from Chris, or he has pushed us in this direction, is knowing ourselves, our strengths, our weaknesses, and how those interplay with each other, but also with whoever we're collaborating with. Several times Chris has led efforts of evidence-based assessments for looking at how we grow together, how we work synergistically. He has pushed people in our organization to take those same assessments and then see how we coincide in work together. And so that's a foundational thing for sure. Just assessment that you can do of yourself and others that you're with to figure out how people will work most effectively. And then personally, a huge thing for me is how I prepare in my daily life. So eating well, sleeping well, exercising, working on my mental health, meditating, because I know how I take care of myself impacts the people around me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't always know that. And I was always operating maybe at like half of my potential, especially relationally, especially in leading people. Mm-hmm. And Chris has probably seen some of that growth over time. And then I think from a very, very early standpoint of us building culture with people around us, is being very vocal about planning to fail and how failure hurts and is painful, but will lead to growth, and being upfront about that plan, that we're going to take risks. We're going to be vulnerable, like you mentioned. And we're not always going to win at everything we do, but we're going to learn from it each time.
That's so crucial. And it just reminds me. So I was on another show recently, and one of the other guests was Marty Smith from ESPN. He wrote this book called Sideline CEO, and he talks about changing versus evolving. And he talks about how evolving is not necessarily changing your values or your virtues. It's just you're learning from them and you're adapting over time, but you're not changing your core. Versus like, if you truly change, you're changing your values, you're changing your virtues, you're going in a different direction. And then what you're just talking about there is, you know, when you take care of yourself and you're going through that process, and then you're growing with your business and you're reading the room, reading what the needs are, you're not necessarily straying from your original values or virtues. You're just maybe applying them differently or attacking them differently or demonstrating them a little differently because you've learned what hasn't worked in the past, or you've learned ways that have resonated versus have not resonated. So I truly appreciate that inside out approach that you're talking about. That is so important that we lead by example. And we start from the inside out when it comes to trying to grow that culture and empower that with our team members around us, because if you live it authentically and you demonstrate it authentically, it's radiant and it's contagious. And that makes a big difference. And I think that parallels over too. I want to ask you this, because I know that social impact and impact in the community, addressing bias, reducing bias and barriers, this stuff is very, very important to both of you. Let's talk about taking those virtues and those values that you have with that last and with Raincross, and how do you take those and use those with some strategies to empower that greater diversity and inclusion practices within your service and to reduce bias and those barriers that, you know, the underserved that you're trying to help are dealing with. How do you take those virtues and those values and apply them in a way that's making a difference to address that mission?
Well, I mean, we can attract practically, we've thought through, it took some groundwork for us to figure out, you know, the different things that we want to do, but practically there's tangible services and things that we actually are doing. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the things is pretty notable is like our ERA program. And it's accelerated recovery, right? And so essentially what we've done is we've expedited the access and the care that an athlete would not normally receive. We've expedited that care. So from the time of injury, if it's something that requires surgery or rehab or both, mm-hmm. we've expedited that level of care for them. So that they could get back into the game, right? Because that's our goal, right? So the value hasn't changed, but what we saw was a huge gap, a huge discrepancy in the values that we have and a value that we think is kind of like it should be an innate thing for people. Standard of care, exactly, right? Determinants of health, right? Like all of these types of things, those values translate into determinants of health and standards of care, where we see far greater gaps in these particular populations. And so because we value those things on our own, because it's bigger than just how well can we do a clinical evaluation, and it's bigger than what kind of grades we made in anatomy and physiology, and it's bigger than whatever else, right? It's bigger than us building our resume, because we actually care about what people are going to say when we're dead and gone. Mm-hmm. We then say, oh, here's an area where our values can serve this gap. We're minding the gap, not only in our own lives, but then that helps us to mind the gaps in the society that we see at large or in the culture that we find around us. And so we didn't have to look very far, right? When you talk about wanting to build culture, I want to kind of tie that back into that last question. It's like, we start with what is, like what's around us, right? I might have this grand vision to do all kinds of things, but there's certain things that I just can't change, just so it fits my vision or what I think should be happening, right? So I have limitations as a human. So it's like, okay, what are my vision and values? And then how does that fit into the larger picture of things that are far greater than I am, right? And so that was this idea of the ERA program was a good example of how we did that. We said, man, look, here are the values that we have. How do we go in and overcome some of the gaps that we see here, right? And so the parable that we often use is you teach a man to fish, he eats, or you teach a person to fish, they eat for a day. Mm-hmm. You give a person a fish, they eat for a day. You teach a person a fish, they eat for a lifetime. Right? That's a profound thing. But then we go on to say, here's the gap that we mind. We teach people how to fish all day. There's a lot of people who are underserved who know how to fish better than some of the most expert fishermen. But they don't have the access, or they don't have fishing poles. They can't afford them. They can't afford to get to the places where the fish are. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's barriers to those things. Right. So what we've done and what we try to do is, first of all, thinking along those lines and saying, hey, it's not just about teaching people things. It's not just about giving people things, but it's also about, I love this term that Adam uses. He calls himself an accomplice sometimes. And it's like we are accomplices to these folks. Like, we don't care what people might think. We're going to ride or die with you in this regard, because these are things that you deserve. So, yeah, we're going to leverage our network. We're going to leverage our relationships. We're going to leverage our resources. Here, use our fishing pole. Here, hop in our car or hop in the Uber that we're going to fund through At Last, so you can get to the physical therapy appointment and leverage that relationship with the physical therapist that we have, so that they don't. It's a pro bono service to that person, right? And that's essentially, I just kind of gave you a sneak peek of what the ERA program is. And then when they get to return to play, they're getting all this high level testing. That's for another day, right? We can talk about that at another time. You can find that about more about the ERA program, but that's it. That's a practical example of how we address some of those things practically. Mm-hmm. We could probably talk long about, you know, beneath the surface as well, but ultimately it starts with you internally. You gotta care enough and want to actually address these things before doing anything else, because otherwise it just becomes performative.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you giving the concrete example of the ERA program, because I think it's a powerful initiative amongst everything else that the two of you are doing through At Last and Rain Crawls. And before we get into the last question, just real quick for everyone listening, again, all the content, the bios and the contact information is in the show notes. There's a link tree with all their stuff, but definitely on LinkedIn, look up ATLAST, so At Last, on Instagram, At Last Pod, ATLASTPOD, and the Rain Cross high performance website, just raincrosshp.com. So definitely check those out. But before we go, I want to give a call to action, and I want to specifically focus in on that teach to fish, teach them how to fish concept. And when we're talking about to other leaders out there, other organization leaders, business leaders, what mentoring, what education, what leadership development initiatives do you two feel that they should really be investing in to engage and support an inclusive and professional growth of their team members, so that whatever service they're providing, they can be seeking out those underprivileged, underrepresented groups around them and have a social transformation, a social impact of their own with their organization. So, Adam, let me start with you. Maybe like one or two certain areas you think they really need to be focusing on with their education and their initiatives?
I am going to go with an answer that is going to be not very typical, but it's recency bias for me right now. And I've lectured on this topic, so I think I can speak to this well. I think leaders of all organizations should be very purposeful in the health and wellness of people that they lead. And I think I'll give you some concrete examples, but I was preparing a lecture this morning, actually looking at epidemiology of appropriate sleep, and 1/3 of Americans do not sleep more than 7 hours a night. Somewhat close to 44% of collegiate student athletes don't sleep appropriately. And then data that I've collected over 800 athletic trainers and physical therapists with a validated measure says that above 70% of those healthcare providers don't sleep appropriately. Mm-hmm. There's great evidence to show that you don't have the same level of emotional intelligence in interaction with people that you're interacting with on a daily basis, mm-hmm, if you've not slept appropriately. and some very salient studies to prove that, or at least support that strongly. And so you see companies like Aetna, the big insurance company, is now paying their employees to, they're giving their employees sleep wearables and tracking their sleep. And if they sleep over 8 hours a night, they make extra money. So the strength of this science, I think, is demonstrated by an insurance company whose mm-hmm. business is to not give away money and to not pay claims, usually is paying their employees to sleep appropriately, because not only emotional intelligence, but cognition, memory, like so many things are impacted. And so I think it's not that difficult of a solution to improve people's sleep. But leaders just need to have buy-in that supporting employee wellness and health impacts their bottom line. And that's the truth, I think, at least from the evidence that I've read.
Absolutely. And your key takeaway is let help your people take better care of themselves so they can refill their cup to give to others and pour out more into what your mission is. So couldn't agree more with that. C. Bates, what about you?
Yeah, I echo Adam's sentiments of before you start wanting to affect change on anybody else, you need to start affecting change with yourself. Start with the person in the mirror. Beyond the vanity side, right? I like to look in the mirror, you know, but it's like
that's because your beard looks good.
Yeah, thank you. You got a pretty strong one there too, man.
This is great. It's wisdom.
It's great. But I think there's something to not enough of us really go deep with ourselves. We're quick to go deep with other people or want to go deep with other people, but you'll find that once you get there, you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble because people will know that you don't do the work yourself. Right. So you try to go deep with others. So I just think Adam just gave a very practical, tangible example, go to sleep, get some rest. Right. But in a more general way, go see a therapist. Go get another set of eyes and ears to look at your life, you know, so that you can have a proper perspective of who you are and what you've been through and why you are the way that you are and why you think the way that you think and why, you know, to get a better picture of that, because the better you understand yourself, then you can see all the other things. You can see more clearly. The airplane analogy, you have more oxygen. You put your oxygen mask on first before you go and try to help others. I'll just say it, man, we're in a helps profession. And like many other helps professions, we've got too many unnecessary martyrs who are, we wrestle with the savior complex. We're so eager to go and save everybody and bring everybody back, and we're just neglecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to save very many people or for very long if you're not around, you know? Mm. So take care of yourself, right? Take care of yourself, but not in like this selfish way, but so that you can be more selfless.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. I appreciate that. Fellas, powerful, powerful stuff. I truly, for one, appreciate your mission and what you're looking to do, making an impact through At Last and through Rain Cross, and just, you know, the stuff you're putting out on your social media, your podcast. So thank you so much for investing the time and the energy into making that happen. And again, all your information is in the show notes for everyone listening, but I really, really appreciate your time. This was a great conversation. Make sure you follow them on social media. Make sure you connect with them on LinkedIn. And gentlemen, just keep that up. Be a catalyst. You're doing it well.
Yeah.
And thank you for what you're doing.
Right. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you for the time. And it was an excellent discussion.
Absolutely. We will talk again very soon. Hope you have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Let's do this.